Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. And what a special show we've got coming up for you, because not only is it Coral Gold Cup Day at Newbury, we've also got a fantastic fighting fifth. Constitution Hill returns, the new lion takes him on, Golden Ace, and of course, the mysterious Amsterdam. Just how good will he be for Willie Mullins? All that to look forward to and so much more. We've got four races to look forward to at Newbury, of course, mentioning the £250,000 Coral Gold Cup. We'll be previewing all four live ITV races there and the action at Newcastle, including that stellar fighting fifth. Joining me to dissect the action in the top corner, top right corner, if you're watching along, is Harry Wilson. On the bottom left, Racing Post handicapper Johnny Pearson. And as always, Unibet's Ed Nicholson, who I'm sure will have some interesting insight from for Constitution Hill. Let's go. First, though, to Newbury. It is the big weekend there. It is the Coral Gold Cup, our key race to be looking at, the 255 at Newbury, one of our highlights of the season and certainly not overshadowed by events in the Northeast. And your favourite is the Cheltenham Festival winner, Myertown, with Unibet at 9-2. Resplendent Grey for Sean Bowen and Ollie Murphy, 13-2. Highland for Team Henderson at 9-1, along with the Changing Man, Katore Dori for Wales at 11-1. Spanish Harlem for the Willie Mullins team, 12s, along with Panic Attack, the Paddy Power Gold Cup winner, looking for a really valuable double this weekend. Blizzard of Oz at 14-1, along with Victorino. Inch House as well, 14-1. And the Doyen Chief finishes us off at 16-1, 18-1 bar. Harry Wilson, you're always in good form, it seems. You just never seem to have a bad spell. Talk us through the Coral Gold Cup at Newbury on Saturday.
Yeah, hi, James. Obviously, it's always a cracker. It's always one that tends to pan out throughout the season as well. Good form line to follow. Myertown's obviously been favourite for a long time. That Ultima win was very good indeed. But I do always like a horse who's had a prep run for this contest. That's always my motive when looking at the Coral Gold Cup. And I've always had this race in mind for Katare Dori. So I'm really glad to see him reappear over hurdles. He did come last that day, but he was always going to find that too competitive, given he never achieved a great deal over hurdles. And he was running off a mark £22 higher than when he was last seen. He travelled well for a long way, which is a good sign. And he was always going to take a step forward for that. He was a revelation over fences last season. Obviously, everyone will remember his 15-length demolition job in the Ladbrokes Trophy at Kempton. I'm happy to put a line through his run in the Ultima behind Myertown. He just didn't get off to the best start, and then he made a big move having raced wide. I think it's easy enough to put a line through that, and I'm sure that he'll bounce back. And Sam Thomas has been in flying form this season.
And Dylan Johnson, just written out his claim, I believe, as well in the last few days. He's 11-1, Katare Dore. Thanks very much for that, Harry. And of course, the Native River route going over hurdles before a run in the Coral Gold Cup. John Evie, Racing Post handicapper, talk us through the handicap.
Well, it's, you know, you make a case for an awful lot of horses in there. They've got good form, Myertown at Cheltenham, Resplendent Great Sandown. You know, this goes on and ones you can select. But I'm going to go to the always trustworthy Willie Mullins, and not necessarily his first choice in the betting, but I'm very interested in Blizzard of Oz. Back in May at Punchtown, he ran over 2.5 miles. He finished really strongly, looked like he needed to go further. They've had a spin round Wexford where he had a little bit of making, although it wasn't the quickest run race in the world, had a bit of little bit of making up to do just to get there on the line. And he's won with quite a lot in hand, despite the three-quarter of a length victory there. And I think there's plenty more to come. He looks to have stamina in abundance, and that was his first try at 3 miles. I think the race is really, really going to suit him. And JJ Slevin, for me, is going to win the Coral Gold Cup on Blizzard of Oz.
14-1, a little bit of movement with Unibet, 16-1 earlier. Now 14-1. Ed, the Coral Gold Cup, I'm sure you still call it the Hennessy, looks a fascinating race on Saturday.
Yeah, no, always true to the sponsor of the day, James. You should know that. So it is the Coral Gold Cup, known by different names in the past. Some people as old as me will remember the Hennessy, but won by some great horses in the past as well, as we've kind of been indicating. Burry Hill Lad, Galway Blaze, Brown Chamberlain, Bragorn. I remember Jadami being beaten by Simpson Abbey before going on to win the Gold Cup. And Red Rum got beaten this in 73 by Red Candle. So all those memories come flooding back. It's always a good race. And I'm the same as Harry. I look for a horse that's had a run, but also I look for a second season chaser rated between 145 and 150 that's between 6 and 8 years old. I mean, that is a golden highway for winners of this race. And there are not many that reach that criteria this year. Highland does. Highland definitely does, having had a run. But Nicky Henderson's record in 3 mile handicap chases at Newbury, and indeed anywhere in the country, isn't that good. I had a quick look this century. 6 winners from 61 runners, 3 mile plus handicap chases at Newbury. And although he did win this with Triolo Delane in 2016, that was the last year of his last winner over a handicap chase over 3 miles. He's more known now for the speedsters over hurdles. So I'm slightly worried about the ground as well, Highland. If it was soft, it would negate his chances. But he's one of the few horses that do reach those trend situations. So you have to think he should go in the shortlist. And I know from the stable that this race has been in mind for a long, long time. The one that everyone's talking about is Maitan, who's obviously, you know, got a lot of the stats in the book, but he hasn't had a run, and that's a worry. Lucinda Russell also, she only had one winner at Newbury, as far as I can see, which is a Hoy Senor, who won the John Frankham on this card 2 or 3 years ago. And I just worried about that recent run for him, but he obviously is a class horse. He obviously is a handicap snip. Correct Rambler running the race of 147 for the team when coming fourth. So, you know, having won that race at Cheltenham, he definitely has to come into it. But I'm going to go for Amore Park, who gets a lot of the trends and the stats in his book. Second season chaser, 10 stone 10. But he hasn't won a race yet over fences, and he's rated 141. But Willie Mullins sends a few over. And I like the look of this one's profile. Run well in 2 kind of decent handicap chases at Cheltenham. Fell on his first 2 runs over fences. So he's only completed 5, so relatively inexperienced. I just thought if he could forgive him his bet 365 run, which was disappointing, I thought 20-1 was a big price from a man as good as Willie Mullins. And when he sends one over, you certainly got to take that into consideration. 2 extra places in this race as well. So at the odds, I think that's going to be my selection, James.
Okay, well, that's a really left-field choice. Omar Park, the outsider of the Willie Mullins runners on Saturday, but potentially the one to be onside, according to our man Ed Nicholson from Unibet. Let's move on to the 2:15, the second race we'll be previewing in detail at Newbury. This is the Coral Racing Club Intermediate Handicap Hurdle, registered as the Jerry Field, in a race which always can throw up the odd good horse. And potentially we've got one at the top of a market. That is Live Conti for Dan Skelton, of course, second in the Grade 1 Juvenile Aintree last season. He's your 3-1 favourite. 7-2 Indemnity. Ivdiver Blue at 9-2, along with Viani for Harry Durham. Give It To Me OJ, the Cheltenham winner, at 6-1. Hot Fuzz at 12-1, along with Last Rodeo. Tutti Quanti for Paul Nichols at 16-1. Col de Prix at 50-1. Outsider, Johnny, you can kick us off. Live Conti, he looked fairly promising towards the end of last season, but would you want to be taking on his comeback?
He did look promising, but I think he's got a bit to find still with some of the others in the race. Most notably Indemnity, who was second, beaten 3 lengths behind Alexia at Ascot last time we saw him. And we all know what Alexia's gone on to do since, by winning it so impressively at Cheltenham the other week. And he's gone up a pound? He's gone up 1 pound for that second place. He's progressive, 3 wins in a row before that, really progressive type. He's got the right profile for the race, and I think he could take a lot of beating. I have heard whispers through the grapevine that they do quite like Viani from the Harry Durham yard. And he's still relatively unexposed, having only had the 3 runs over hurdles. I think Indemnity could have a fair bit more up a sleeve off a mark of 122.
Okay, well, that's good, because I like the chances of Viani as well. So I'm glad your whispers are seemingly on favour, Johnny. That's always a good sign. Harry, as we touched on with Live Conti, who's favourite here, it is notoriously difficult for those that season after juvenile hurdling. Is that a reason potentially you might want to take on a favourite or look elsewhere?
Yeah, it's exactly for that reason, James. We all know that four-year-olds struggle in their second season, especially in handicaps against older horses. And I was really surprised to see just how many four-year-olds are actually in the lineup, especially Live Conti. I don't really know what he's done to warrant a mark of 143. But if we're going purely on RPRs, his peak RPR is 133, which gives him like £10 to find on our handicappers assessment. So I'm a bit surprised that he's favourite, and his joint top weight would give it to Miojo. He's another four-year-old. So if anything, they're just keeping him down the weights for a horse like Indemnity. When I looked at this race on Tuesday for my anti-post column, I thought the 4-1 about him was a ridiculous price, to be honest. I'm surprised that you can still get it. But the one that I've settled on purely because I think he'll handle softer ground better than Indemnity, that is in Divar Blue for Ollie Murphy. He produced an RPR of 122 and a bumper a couple of years ago. And in that year, there was only six British trained horses who ran to a better bumper RPR than that, which shows you what sort of regard he should be held in. He's taken a while to put it all together, but he made such an impressive handicap debut at Foss Lass when last seen in April. And that form has already been franked by the second who won next time. I just think he's got loads more to come. And Ollie Murphy has always held him in high regard. And I'd be shocked if he's not better than the mark of 126. So that's in Divar Blue for me.
Yeah, and a mention there for your Rantipost column every Tuesday. Do make sure to check that out on the Racing Post website. As always, we have Harry's thoughts for the rest of the season and those all-important anti-post selections for the weekend ahead. Ed, finish us off. With any of the boys?
Well, yeah, I think Indiver Blue's got a great chance. I must say, before I start, I found this race really difficult. So, yeah, any horse has got a chance in this for the reasons that Harry's mentioned, mostly the four-year-olds and lightly raced individuals. We are going top price every runner from 11 o'clock in the morning on the Saturday. So if you do want to place a bet on this and you don't want to take any of the earlier prices, 11 o'clock on Saturday, you won't get a better price anywhere else. Give It To Me OJ has the huge compliment of winning two derbies at Epsom. He won the Apprentice Derby and he won the Jump Jockeys Derby. Not the derbies we think about, James. I see from your face there you didn't like that one.
You've already knocked this out, James, on the series already, Ed.
it's a very good horse on, well, relatively good horse on the flat. He won at Cheltenham in October, but that wasn't a great display. He should have won by further based upon the ratings. That was a non-handicap. But I do like Give It To Me, I think he's going to improve upon the rating of 1.43. But in Indiver Blue, as Harry mentioned, that bumper at Wetherby was amazing. I remember watching it and putting it down in my tracker straight away for next season. I actually spoke to Ollie Murphy about 4 weeks ago about this horse, and he said he's had his problems. Obviously, he's had his problems, but they still really like him. And this is the sort of race that he really should be winning off a 126 mark, I think. So, yeah, in what is a really difficult race, I'm going to side with Indiver Blue as well, because he must be better. Don't forget, Epitome won this off 137 before she won the champion hurdle. So there are lots of horses that improve using this Jerry Fielden as a race to go on to better things. And I've just got a feeling Indiver Blue might just be the similar type. And we might be looking back at a rating of 126 at the end of the season and thinking, wow, what a bet that was.
Yeah, I was thinking the same things as you. When you look at that bumper form, we could all be thinking this is very straightforward off 126, but that's the joy of racing, as we shall find out at 2:15 on Saturday afternoon. Two more races to look at Newbury. Going to skip over these quite quickly. That's the 140 to join Coral, bet £10, get £50 handicap hurdle with French Ship at the top of a market. And the last, the Coral Pipped at the Post Payouts handicap chase over 2 miles, where General Medrano is looking to repeat his wide margin win. Let's come straight back to you, Ed. Those two races, anything catch your eye?
Yeah, as people know who listen to this podcast, I'm a big fan of French Ship. Didn't run, was it last week? Was taken out. But I think French Ship is ahead of the handicapper. I think is a decent sort, progressive individual. I expect him to win, but the market does as well. He's going to be about 5-2, 9-4, I reckon. But interestingly owned by, or part owned, I think, by
Ian Gosden, the owner of
Ian Gosden, Golden Ace. Who owns Golden Ace, is running up
Don't get too excited. We will come on to Newcastle shortly. Yeah. Don't you worry. What about the last season?
It'd be interesting if he's at Newbury, wouldn't it? But no, I think Friendship will take all the beating. And interesting jockey booking, Eric Obden. Again, on my research, I could only see three occasions that he's ridden for Philip Hobbs. Maybe I'm wrong, but a second, a third, and a pulled up. So interesting jockey on board. I just think Friendship will win. And also at the back end of the card, Javert Allen's won 2 of 5 chases. I think you might have been there at Chepstow, James. I certainly was when he made a fantastic debut, jumped beautifully, and then followed that up by winning at Newbury. Hasn't really done the same since, but I think he's there. I think the race will be run to see. I can only see one other horse that's going to go forward in the race, and he can use his great jumping skills to kind of have an unassailable lead. So we're going super boost in that 3:35, and we're going money back second or third and or extra place, up to you, in the 1:40 at Newbury. That's the Friendship race. So money back second, third, our flagship offer on that race.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Javert Allen in the 3:35 and Friendship in the 1:40 are Ed's choices. What's yours, Harry?
Yeah, I must admit, I'm a big fan of Friendship. I'm going to take him on Saturday with personal ambition. I think he's a bit of a forgotten horse. If we go back to March 2024, he beat Django Bai in a Grade 2 novice hurdle at Kelso. And obviously, we all know what he's gone on to do. And I think he's going to win the King George as well. But we can talk about that another time. And it's just, he made his reappearance over hurdles. And I really like what I saw. He led until the last, and he was overhauled in the running by 3 horses. That was at Carlisle, which is a really stiff track on very soft ground. And it was his first start in 234 days. He's going to come on for that. I must admit, I liked him a lot more when Callum Pritchard was provisionally booked with the £5 claim off his back. But Ben Jones is a very talented jockey, and I'm hoping he'll get the job done from the front. The last race at Newbury I thought was really difficult. The one who's ridiculously well handicapped in my book is Rare Edition. He came second on his reappearance to Thistle Ask, who you might remember hacked up in the Holden Gold Cup for Dan Skelton. He was giving him £23 that day. So his chances are that was a bit of an impossible task. My only issue is that he does like to go forward, and Javert Allen, I think, is a much better jumper than him. And he might just be taken out of his comfort zone. But Rare Edition is definitely one to watch out for in the future.
Okay, perfect. Let's come on to you, Johnny. Javert Allen, we touched on there. That's one of your selections. Am I right in thinking?
You are correct, James. I think he has a brilliant chance here. He's had a run round Aintree last time, ran pretty well on the whole. He's gone a favourite. He didn't quite win, but I don't think, you know, he just faded late on, but he still ran well, only beaten 5 lengths. He's come down another pound for that. And as Ed said, you know, he won at Chepstow, then he went to win at Newbury. He was beaten a short head at Chepstow. Okay, he ran disappointingly in March, but he started off pretty well. And Jane Williams is also flying. Her strike rate over the last fortnight is 30%, which is just a sort of form you want coming into these good races. And Javert Allen looks way too big a price on to my eye, and I think he's a really, really good bet today on Saturday. Even, you know, he should be. I think he's got so much upside to him. 6-year-old progressive, had a nice run last time out, everything set up for him on Saturday, and I think he'll go and get the job done.
Yeah, and that Jane Williams strike, which you touch on, it, well, it could have been a bit more had the neighbour Chester not fired in a winner at Exeter last week. Mum beaten by son in that bizarre race at Exeter. That's Newbury done and dusted. Make sure to follow all the action live with us at racingpost.com throughout the afternoon on Saturday. But after this short break, we are going to go straight into that show-stopping showdown at Newcastle. Okay, we are heading to the northeast, and what a treat we have for you here. This is, of course, the 2 o'clock at Newcastle, the BetMGM Fighting Fifth Hurdle. We know all about who's lining up, but a quick look at the market with Unibet, and we've got joint favourites here. 6-4, the great Constitution Hill. 6-4 as well is the new Lion, of course, so impressive at the Cheltenham Festival last season. Anzadam at 3-1. Golden Ace, the surprise champion hurdle winner, 25-1. Maybe she can perform another upset in the mainland. Supplemented this week, he's 80-1 outsider. Harry Wilson, what is going to happen in the Fighting Fifth?
Yeah, it's an absolute corker, James, isn't it? The only thing you can really decide on the fight in fifth is tactically. It's a really difficult race to work out what is going to happen. You've got Constitution Hill, who can easily make the running, but is Nico going to trust his fitness? I think we're going to see how much they actually think of him if he does go forward, because Nimeyen Lion is your obvious pace angle. But is it worthwhile pace? That's what I always look at. Is Nimeyen Lion good enough to be there? Probably not. So Constitution Hill is going to have to take this on quite a long way out with the likes of the New Lion and Anzadam, Golden Ace. They all like to take a lead. And we all saw Constitution Hill on his return last time in the Christmas hurdle. He took a massive blow from the second last to the last. And you just think that over 2 miles, Anzadam and the New Lion potentially, although I have real reservations about the New Lion over 2 miles. Like for a horse who spent his whole life running over 2 mile 3 and really strong at the finish to beat a stayer like the Yellow Clay in the Gallagher, or the Turner's Hurdle as it is now, I don't really see him dropping back to 2 mile and causing much of an issue, which might rustle a few feathers. But the one that I'd have to back is Anzadam. I wouldn't have a bet in the race personally. I think it's a massive watching brief. But Anzadam's the one who could be special. He's 4 from 4. Really impressive winning. Is it a Grade 3 and then a Grade 2? He just has an engine, and that's all he might need today. He's got a brilliant jockey, Paul Tan, and I think I'm one of the best out there. So if Constitution Hill isn't there, and I really hope he is, I think Anzadam's the one who's going to pick him up.
Okay, so we've got a selection really with your head and your heart, it seems there, Harry. But you're keen to take on the New Lion. Johnny, that's quite interesting from Harry. The New Lion, of course, the big champion hurdle hope, he's saying he's not a two-miler. Is that an agree or disagree of you?
Yeah, I can't. I don't think he's a two-miler. He wants 2.5 miles. I get what they're trying to do. I like the fact they're going for the champion hurdle. But equally, I don't think he's a two-miler. The big question here is Constitution Hill going to be the Constitution Hill of 2023 when he won the champion hurdle, when he looked essentially like one of the best hurdlers we'd ever seen? If he is, he'll win. But it's a big if, and he's plenty short enough to be backing with those question marks still over him. You know, obviously we'll find out a lot more on Saturday, and hopefully he runs well, but I can't entertain backing him. As Harry said, Anzadam has got to be the one of most interest here. I remember watching him at Fairy House last November. I was so impressed. And then he's gone and obviously dotted up in a Group 3, or Grade 3 at Nace. But the big question is, what's going on at Willie Mullins' yard? Like, why did he not run in Morgiana last weekend? What was all the topsy-turvy sort of rearranging where the horses are going about? Nobody knows. There was rumours that he wasn't working well at home, but they wouldn't have sent him over here if his work was that bad. So It's you've got to think he's got to be right. But then obviously they sent over the, I can't remember, was it Mystical Power they sent to the race? Was it last year or 2 years ago?
Yep.
And he ran terribly. So you don't really know what's going on. But he's quite a tempting price. But I think it's, as much as anything, more of a watching brief. But Anzadam's definitely tempting me somewhat.
Okay, yeah, some reservations with him. I agree with what you're saying, is that we're not entirely sure why things didn't change. But who knows with Willie Mullins, as we've said. So the New Lion, the two boys, certainly down on there, Ed. But, I mean, we know Unibet ambassador is Nicky Henderson. We know you'll have a bit more insight than most. The big question, as we say, is Constitution Hill going to come back to his best?
No one knows, which is, as you mentioned before on the podcast, the great thing about racing. What I can say is, I have spoken to lots of people about Constitution Hill in the yard, because what I was concerned about is the way he turned his head at Punchestown, which meant he didn't want to get on with it. And nearly everyone to a man has said, don't worry about it. He was just telling everyone he was fed up. He didn't want to race. Nicky's actually said on record that he that's his mistake. He shouldn't have asked him to go to Punchestown, but he wasn't the same horse. He didn't want to race. It was completely lackluster. Since then, they've freshened him up. I've been told, and it's been in our blogs, it's not out there, everyone's been talking about it. Nicky Henderson has been talking about it to everyone, that he's more forward this year than he has been in the past. I remember last year I spoke to Nicky the morning or the afternoon before the Christmas hurdle, and he was at pains for me to mention in the blog that this horse would come on a ton for whatever he did in the Christmas hurdle. And he was saying that I'm very worried that he'll get beat today, but that doesn't mean he'll get beat in March. I've got a feeling that they're much more forward with him this year. And I don't think that would be a problem in terms of fitness. He won't be 100%, obviously, but he took, according to Nico, one of our ambassadors, he took a big breath just coming up to the last in the Christmas hurdle. And Nico, who knows more than I do, said that was him telling him that he was a gallop short, you know, or two or three, and needed the run. I doubt whether that's going to happen this time, because I think everyone needs to see Constitution Hill win and jump round. And if he does, if he's the same horse, anywhere near the horse that we saw 2-3 years ago, he'll win. There's no question. He's miles clear. But that's the question. I'm the same as Harry. I'm just going to enjoy and watch this race. And again, same as Harry, I'm just intrigued by the tactics. I mean, what do you do? If you're the new line, what do you do if you're Harry Skelton? You're on a horse that stays. Do you, if it's a very slow pace, do you take it on? Do you try to outsprint the horse like Constitution Hill over the last? What do you do if you're Nico?
Yeah, well, let's bring in the boys. Harry, what would they need to do on the new line? If, I mean, I know you don't think he's a two-miler, but Ed asked the question, tactics-wise, what would you expect to happen? And what do you think should happen?
Well, obviously, I've never ridden the horse, so I couldn't tell Harry Skelton to do his job. He'll know more than me. But if it was me, you're on a horse who stays, and I'm not convinced Constitution Hill does stay 2 mile four. I've never really been convinced of that in his entry hurdle run. I think he's got to set his stall out and make it a test. If he's going to sit there and think he's going to out-sprint Constitution Hill, even an unfit Constitution Hill will out-sprint the new line. And the question is, what is Paul Towner going to do? Like, he sat there on Lossiemouth in the Christmas hurdle because she couldn't keep up. I don't think Anzadam is going to have that issue. He looks like he's got pace. If it turns into a sit and sprint, I think Anzadam's the one you want to be on. If the new line's going to go out there and make it a right test, it's going to be so interesting to watch, because you can just imagine Harry Skelton just sitting there in front on the bridle, looking around and thinking, like, is anyone actually going to come and take me on? And he might just be able to nick it from the front, setting his stall out. But I'd be surprised if they're that bold. The way that he was ridden in his novices, I think, is quite testament to what they like to do with their hurdlers. They do like to sit and wait. They very rarely go out there and set the stall out. I'd suggest that the Nimian Lion's going to make the running, the Constitution Hill just behind him, and then he's going to look to take it up 3 or 4 out, and put his, well, they obviously think he's fit, so put his fitness to the test. And if Constitution Hill does click into those gears that we all know that are in there somewhere, then they won't see which way he goes.
Yeah, interesting. Ed, we'll come back to you just to finish off. I mean, do you think Constitution Hill will win on Saturday?
Yeah, I do. I don't think Anzadam will win. I don't think William Mullins sends it over his best, his second best, his third best horse over here to the Fighting Fifth. He's not done that in the past. And I'm led to believe that the reason why he didn't run in the Morgiana was that he hadn't put in a decent piece of work beforehand, and Lossiemouth had. So that would be my concern about Anzadam, as talented a horse as he is. So Constitutional, if he comes back to his best, wins. Golden Ace, current Unibet champion hurdle. I spoke to Jeremy Scott, actually, a couple of weeks ago. Last week, who said that the owners did want to go for this race. So, you know, hopefully they can put behind that performance at Wetherby, which was dreadful. And good old Nemean Lion, who ran in the Unibet champion hurdle in the past. Kerry Lee's gone for it. Wish her the very best of luck. Great to see Will Frosif and Kerry Lee taking on the more established stars. But Nemean Lion's a good horse in his own right, so they obviously think he's fit and raring to go. So, listen, it's just a cracking race to watch. I'm going to be glued to the TV at 2 o'clock, wherever I am, to watch this race. Fantastic race to watch, I think.
Absolutely is. I like it when we have a difference of opinion on the show. I do like it when we all agree, but sometimes I like it when we all think differently. It's just the way of the game. What an absolutely fascinating race that is. Just to sum up, we've got Johnny and Harry on Team Anzadam. Ed is on Team Constitution Hill, and boys, I think I'm going to come with you on Team Amsterdam as well, if you'll let me. So 3-1. We'll see what happens. 2 o'clock at Newcastle. Yeah.
I'm just interested what the boys think will go our favourite.
Okay. Go on, Johnny, we'll bring you in for this one.
It depends. I mean, I can see a lot of people back in Constitution Hill. I think Amsterdam's least likely to get backed out of them. I don't think, the new line I could see being back for Skeletons, but I'd be absolutely amazed if he was able to win the race, to be honest. 2 miles, it doesn't matter how he runs. If he tries to make it to Salmon, they'll sit behind him and pick him off late. If he sits in behind, he's not going to have the pace if they don't go fast enough. So I can't see him winning. Constitution Hill, I think, is most likely our favourite.
Harry, what goes off, Fav?
Constitution Hill.
Yeah, I agree.
Possibly. There's so much love behind him. You could even see a shade of odds on.
Yeah, agreed. I think people are going to look at 6-4 on Saturday afternoon and go, wait a minute, there's some serious money to be made here. Ed, do you agree?
I really don't know. I normally have a strong opinion, but I can see a new line going off favourite. I really can.
We really don't know, do we? We can't make our minds up about anything. Maybe we can on the 3:15 at Newcastle. This is the BetMGM rehearsal handicap chase. The big handicap up there, and the favourite for the Skeletons is Deafening Silence at 7-4. Cruise Control, entry winner a few years ago at 7-2. Confusion, unlucky unseat last week at 4s. Doc Pick Me at 7s. Jasmine de Grugy for the inform. Anthony Honeyballyard at 8-1. Hang in there, 17-2. Hold that fort, 12-1, and Dare to Shout 18s. Ed, we'll start with you with this one first. Rehearsal, who wins?
Super Boost race. I'm a big fan of Cruise Control, who won for us at Aintree at a big price. Tom Lacey only goes north to Newcastle when he's got a decent chance. The last 15 runners, 5 have won, 5 have been placed, including this fella, Cruise Control, who's won three from four at Newcastle, I think. The going is perfect for him. He wins after a break. I think Cruise Control's got everything in his book to run a good race. I would say, though, Hold That Taut is worth a second look, because Venetia Williams has won the last two runnings of this race and has won another rehearsal chase on top of that as well. 3 from 8, she is. And her type of horse is perfect for this type of race. Rehearsal chase used to be a rehearsal for the Welsh National, as I'm sure James knows, but now been taken up to Newcastle by Arc. It's a good race, but you want a horse that jumps, you want a horse that stays, and you want a horse that goes on the going. All three of those, Cruise Control.
Ed, I don't know who's going to win the rehearsal, but it was odds on that you were going to mention that it was at Chepstow in the past. And you're very right to correct me. Hold That Taut, not thought. What does Harry Wilson think is going to win the rehearsal chase?
Yeah, I think it's a horrible little race, James, to be honest. Deafening Silence is a favourite. I don't know. I've been waiting for him to go right-handed again. I don't really know why they're persisting going left-handed with him. He jumps right at every fence, and I really don't know why they're bothering, to be honest. But it's Dan Skelton, and he's probably targeted the race, so it's probably always got a chance. I just think you can pick holes in absolutely everything. Jasmine de Grugy, obviously, he's so lightly raced in general that He went up a lot in the weights, and it might have just been the end of a long season. Him losing at Newbury, and then was it 12 lengths Bill Baxter beat him by at Punchestown? But Anthony Honeyball was started the season really well, especially with horses that are fresh, and wouldn't be surprised to see him win. I must admit, I agree with Ed. I thought Hold That Taut was so interesting, just because Venetia, she just hasn't clicked into gear yet. Like, Newbury's usually her time of the year, and November's usually her time of the year, and she just hasn't clicked into gear yet. And when she does, they're always going to start banging in. And Hold That Taut, he's £4 out the weights, but Ned Fox is taking off 5. He's so well handicapped if he can put it all together, and this is the sort of race that would suit him.
Yeah, he is 12-1, potentially one of a outsiders, no, not Harry's favourite race. It's good to learn. You can't love them all, Harry. Johnny, are you a bit more upbeat about this race?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it very quick, very simple. Richard Hobson wouldn't have loads of runners. His last two horses have both won. Doc Picked Me had a lovely spin round at Newbury over hurdles last time, finishing 5th in the race. Hoti Claus won. Back over fences on Saturday. Charlie Mack's taking 5 off. He's going to run a cracking race. Great each way bet.
Very quick and very smooth. And just as you're going to do, Johnny, you've got two more for us from Ireland. Of course, we know you look after some of the Irish stuff for Racing Post.
153 at Fairy House looks a great novice hurdle. Annoyingly, three or four of these in my tracker are all running against each other. But I think Maverick Mac, L'Evangeliste, Camino Bello and Chase the Moon are all very much horses to be keeping an eye on. Chase the Moon very much looks a chaser in the making as well, and definitely one for the future. And the next race is a maiden hurdle that I wouldn't advise having betting, but Dysart Dolomite runs for Willie Mullins. And in there as well is a Jiggins Town horse called Raven Dark, who costs 350,000, I'm going to say euros. And that is a brother to Brighter Days Ahead and all of that lot. So that's obviously a race very much to keep an eye on as well.
All of that lot, of course, including French Dynamite and Mighty Potter. Yes, you were correct about Euros. And that's just shows how busy the weekend is. We've got good action from Ireland to look forward to as well. But after this short break, we'll be giving you those all-important best bets.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with three UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Okay, that time in the show. What is the nap this weekend? Starting with you, Harry Wilson.
Yeah, mind that. We're going to go to Newbury for the 140, and that's Personal Ambition. He's had a prep run and he shaped incredibly well that day. He's going to take a step forward for his reappearance, and I think he's well handicapped.
I think you could be wrong with French Ship, but I'm going to go Vianney in the 215 as mine. Harry Durham, well, we know from Johnny's comments earlier in the show that they like this horse quite a lot. I think this horse will have been targeted for this race and he's got loads of potential. Johnny, what's yours?
Yeah, we're going to go to the 335 at Newbury, the lucky last, and it's Javert Allen for Jane Williams and Kieran Gethings. I think he's a well-handicapped horse, had a nice run last time, and he could be up to winning here at a nice price.
And Ed, you had a winning that last week. Can we do it again? But you're going to give us a massive price here, aren't you?
Yeah, I've got to go with the Coral Gold Cup. Good value on offer. Two extra places with Unibet. I'm going to go for Omore Park. Willie Mullins, when he comes over, we all know that he comes over the chance. This horse lightly raced over fences and hits all the trends. He's a young, improving second season chaser with a low weight and is aged 8 years. I think he's got a decent chance of at least a place at odds of 20 to 1.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much to our panelists. If you're watching along in the top right, that's Harry Wilson. Bottom left, Johnny Pearson. And as always, Unibet's Ed Nickerson. And thanks for you for watching along, Ed. Before we finish off, you had some nice comments from our listeners and our viewers just a few days ago.
Yeah, I was over in Punchdown for the Unibet Morgiana. And it was really nice to hear lots of people coming up to me and say they really enjoyed the Racing Post podcast, especially with all the winners tipped up by the experts. So well done to everyone else. But I really enjoyed going over there in Ireland. It's nice that there's some support for it. So keep your comments coming in. It's always nice to hear what you think of the show. And if you have any ideas for improvements, let us know.
Certainly should. And keep an eye out if you're at Newbury this weekend. I'll be there, albeit I might be getting soaked looking at the forecast on Saturday. Do make sure to let us know what you think, as Ed says. And of course, do join us again at 7 o'clock on Thursday next week, because the good action doesn't stop there. It's Tingle Creek weekend at Sandown, as well as some top class action at Aintree. So join us again for more tips and insight for some stellar winter jumps action. But for now, goodbye, enjoy your weekend and gamble responsibly.